Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a great guest for the show today, Eric Gilman. He has an extensive background in engineering and solving countless problems for countless companies. He focuses largely on medical technology and, in most cases, physical devices. Today, he is CEO and Managing Director of Pynetics. So we're going to learn a lot today about a whole bunch of things, but especially innovation and medical technology. Eric, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Let's start off by getting into sort of the landscape of medical devices. What does that marketplace look like?
Yeah, medical devices is a very unique marketplace. It's not a TV or a toy. It's heavily, at least nowadays, and we'll see in the future, but it's heavily regulated around the globe. And with that regulation comes very specific requirements that a lot of medical devices need to follow. And the weird part is it's not always consistent depending on where you are geographically, for sure. And because it deals, medical devices almost always deal with interaction with the human body, it is, you don't want to get it wrong. So there's extensive testing that must be done and design analysis. And I'll say even a third aspect of this is when you design a medical device, the users aren't necessarily the ones who benefit from it. And what I mean by that is you may have a surgeon or a nurse who's using the device. However, the device is actually benefiting the patient. So the stakeholder management in designing and building a medical device just takes it to that next level.
Wow. So there's a lot there. And so with the marketplace, you painted a picture of the regulation stuff plays a big role in why so much time, energy needs to go into them, because you need to follow all the rules. Thankfully, you have lots of regulation on.
You want
on
those rules. Device. Believe me, if you have a family member in the hospital, you're thankful for all the rules. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So then in terms of the marketplace, is it you have tech companies who, you know, and they've got to hire folks who, hey, you know this stuff inside and out, please help us stay straight. And then the selling process to medical institutions largely, or things like that? How does some of that come together in terms of the buying and selling?
It's an interesting conundrum, right? So there are giants that are out there, right? And you probably know names like Johnson & Johnson or Medtronic or Abbott. You see their commercials. Abbott, it was the innovator with diabetes. If you've seen their commercials with the little device that they have that goes in the side of the arm. So these giants, I would say, are very vertically integrated, meaning that they can take a concept, pull it through design, take it through manufacturing, and it may even be their own manufacturing, but a lot of times they subcontract it out. And then they have their own distribution arm and sales force that will sell it, like you said, to the institutions. However, not everyone's like those giants, and who I work with a lot of times are surgeons or startups or really innovative engineers who have wonderful ideas, but they don't know how to take that idea that happens to be a medical device to market. So they come and look at us and Pynetics and my experience to say, okay, I have this benchtop. I know it can do X, but I don't know how to fully design it. I don't know what regulations I need to follow and what tests I need to do. And so we help them get through that design phase. And then maybe they're like, oh, I don't even know any manufacturers who might be a manufacturer of this device. We can help them through that process. And then if they want, they can also, after it's been designed, manufactured, help them through distribution of the product in various markets across the globe. And there's a lot of, while we're on the design and manufacturing side, there's a lot of networks out there that are on the distribution side. They're distributors who carry a lot of products and get it to the healthcare facilities themselves. So they can go through those networks to get their products out there. So it's not the, I will say the barriers to entry are a little high. I'm not going to sugarcoat that piece. But if you know the right people and you have experience, you can manage them and really get through and get a successful product.
That's super interesting. So if founders come to folks like you, specifically you at Pynetics, and they say, hey, look, I've got an idea and I'm a doctor, I'm a scientist, so I know my space, but how do I
Right.
turn this into an actual product is what it sounds like.
Exactly. And the key with that is not just taking and narrowly going down a tunnel. It's working with them, asking a lot of questions. What's the goal of the product? What's the goal you want to, the problem you want to solve for the patient? How are those problems manifesting themselves? Is there anything else that you want this product to solve? And putting it all out there through a really good ideation phase. And then you know, move on and you start working on the design. But even throughout the design, you still ask a lot of questions. What are the risks that can be involved? What are the things that can go wrong? How can this device fail? If really experiencing good design companies and partners are always thinking about the risk management as they go through that process.
Who is best positioned to be a founder in for medical tech? Is it a specialist doctor? Is it a scientist? Is there a little bit of a spread?
I've seen a lot of different variety. So I've seen engineers who worked for those giants that had an idea that the giants didn't see the vision of. And they're like, you know what? Forgive my language, but screw them. I'm going to go start my own company. But they may be one engineer, right? So they may have already gone through a lot of the design phase and they're coming to us to say, can you help us with the testing and get it through over the finish line? To your point, there's also surgeons who and doctors who are like, I really have an idea of how I can help my patient or my staff or make things simpler and want to pursue this idea, but they're doctors full time. They don't have the time to take a product and figure all this stuff out. So they come to us. And then everywhere in between, scientists, as you mentioned earlier, that may be working for universities and doing research. And a lot of great engineering STEM programs at university come up with wonderful ideas. Then they work with partners like us to then take those ideas and make them commercially viable moving forward.
Yeah. So thinking about medical technology, can you give some examples for just those of us who haven't spent a lot of time thinking about it? What are some examples of good medical technology, maybe in the past and maybe now? What kind of things are does a good medical tech product look like?
Yeah, that's a very loaded question because it can look like many things, right? What we deal with is really anything with electromechanical devices, but a medical technology could be, and a really good one could be anything from a simple surgical scissor that happens to be the perfect length and the perfect shape to cut a suture in the right place, right? And save the doctor time to a $5 million MRI machine that takes technology that was invented through government grants for resolving military issues, and all of a sudden someone figured out how to make it into a great medical device that has saved so many lives, millions of lives over the years. So it's a tough question to say what is good and what is not, what constitutes. I will say this, that successful medical products have a few really key elements. One, they do solve a problem. I've always said, don't try to make a solution without a problem. Always come with a problem that needs to be solved and a challenge. Whether it's a problem with patient with a medical condition, right, that may not necessarily have the best solution right now, or it may be, like I said, the user problem. It may be a surgeon who can't is not functioning as optimally as they could and could reduce this time in surgery or a nurse or anything else, right? So if there's a problem and it solves that problem, that's good step one. Step two is that it is functionally very intuitive and easy to use. I've seen many medical devices die on the vine because they were complicated. The user interface was not intuitive. And what I mean by that is a good example, which is a really bad example, is you have a lot of electronic medicine dispensing units, right? So if you have an IV, you have a unit that controls the flow of a particular concentration of a particular medicine into the IV of the patient. If your display and your interface of that isn't very obvious, so 10 milliliters doesn't look like 10.
A 10.0 doesn't look like 100.
Yeah, exactly, right? And there have been cases where, and they've been well documented, where that interface has caused patient injury and or death. And so really good medical devices allow the user to be intuitive in what they do. And then lastly, the ones that last the test of time are regulatorily, if that's a word, sound, meaning they've done the due diligence, they've done the testing to whatever standards that exist and more. They have, like I said earlier, the teams have looked at they've done a really good, what we call DFMEA, design failure mode analysis, right? So they've looked at how can this device fail? How can it fail not just at the start, but over the lifetime of the device, right? I have seen many devices where it's great and it works for the first few times, and then all of a sudden things start happening and medical doctors and everyone get pissed off, they get returns, and it ends up costing the company more money than it did to invest in designing the product themselves. So if they have that long-term sound strategy of making the device really solid, a regulatory and standards and a testing point of view, it lasts the test of time. And I can tell you, I can give examples of devices that have been designed that way from the 1960s that are still used to this day. So if you can combine all those three things, you're going to set yourself up for success with your medical device.
Wow. It's a fascinating area. So one thing I think about is if somebody is listening to this conversation right now and they say, mm-hmm. I have a medical idea, what should they do prior to meeting with someone like yourself?
Yeah, as silly as it sounds.
There is a giant landscape of it, because anything that is in a hospital technically is medical technology.
Absolutely.
So from the scissors
Absolutely.
To the
Yeah, from the yeah, the lights that are hanging overhead all the way down to the little band-aids. Your Johnson Band-Aid brand bandages are medical devices, believe it or not. You don't necessarily have to do the research about what classification it is and what standards it needs to go to. I would say step one, A, if you're not in the medical world, and this is going to sound silly, but when you go see your doctor, throw the idea at them. They're going to know if it's going to be something that's going to be useful or not. If you have friends that are in the medical field as a nurse or a nurse practitioner, go talk to them. Anecdotal, as I said, the first step is understanding if there is a problem, right? And if you get feedback that, oh yeah, this is a great idea because it would save me time or it'd be better for the patient or whatever, start there, because at least you know you're on the right track. From there, it may be a great solution, but is it a viable product? Then you can bring in a company like Pynetics or talk to experts like us to evaluate it. And we will do evaluation that not only talks about, okay, we're not going to just design the product and left you on your own. We can help evaluate and use our contacts to see if it can be a sellable product and if it goes out in the market, because some of the design requirements, it's still a marketplace out there. Unfortunately, especially in the US, it's still a healthcare is still a business, right? So you can't sell a scissor for $1 million. You have to understand what the prices are in the marketplace and everything else, and what tolerance customers are that tolerance customers have to buy the device. So we can help with, okay, great idea. Is this something that can sell? And if it can sell, what's the price point that it needs to sell out? And then we can back in the design to say, all right, you need to design with this kind of cost in mind. Is that feasible? And there's a lot of analysis that's done. But even before you get there, if people are saying it's a good idea, then come to us. But I can tell you how many times I've talked to people who've had ideas, and I'd be like, did you talk to anyone about this? And they're like, no, I just thought it up on my own. I'm like, good few people. And then they're like, I don't know what to talk about. I'm like, let me connect you with my friend George. And then I have a conversation with George. Like, yeah, but this isn't really bothering me. I'm perfectly happy doing it the way that I'm doing. And I got 50 other problems that I'm trying to solve first. So do that conversation. And if they're saying it's a good idea, then you can come to us for sure.
Yeah. Is it different from digital products in the sense that, because you get, most of the stuff's physical, I imagine you do stuff that is digital and has digital Absolutely. Components, but it seems like you think of an invention idea of how to solve some problem. If you deviate from that initial idea, it might not work at all. Versus on the digital, tell me if I'm wrong about this, but on the digital side, I could fall in love with the problem, trying to solve the problem, and just find out lots of logical ways of trying to contend with the problem, get some designers, engineers, and solve it and launch. Versus if I, sitting in my room, had some idea about some mechanical thing of, oh, if you made scissors like this, it should be able to cut tissue better or something like that.
Well, but then if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Yeah, no, you're talking about an iterative process. And I actually think there are some similarities there. An idea isn't final until it's final. I have seen many medical devices that have used what you're describing is an agile methodology where you do iterative process. You make, let's say, a prototype. It's not perfect, but then you go collect data on it. And then you do the next iteration, you make the next prototype, you collect some more requirements, and then you really refine down and funnel down into a really good device. And I would say the interesting thing is that right now is a precipice of a transition in medical, because it's really interesting that you mentioned digital, because really medical devices are crossing that digital barrier. It's been difficult, right? Because it's so regulated and because there's laws about privacy with patients, because there's danger, right, of hacking and other things. It has been a lagging industry. However, we're really at the precipice of involving that digital technology, whether it's a connected device. I can foresee a artificial heart that connects to an app on your phone in the next year, if not sooner. I know that those companies that are working on those are already figuring that piece out. And I imagine the limitation is not necessarily the connectivity or the application or even the security. The limitation on that is probably the power requirements, because you got to power the heart, but you also have to power the wireless technology that goes by it. I'm guessing. I'm not involved in any of those projects. I certainly would love to be before I die. And when you think of your wearables that you have, everyone in my family but me wears a smartwatch and checks their heart rate and everything else and goes through it. The digital divide is now closing in the medtech world. And it's an interesting thought process, because you need to be thinking about that if you have an idea for a device, because that's going to be one of the first questions that people are going to ask when you do it, especially if it's electromechanical, right? If it's something that sits there and plugs in or has a battery, it's going to be, is there information in there? How can it be used, and how can it be benefit the patient or benefit society? And so you need to understand how that connectivity and digitization of your product works. Sorry, I went off on a tangent there, but yeah, it's an interesting topic right now. It's going.
Speaking of that, how far off are we from things that people talk about, like AI and robotics? Those are two different things, but AI and robotics taking a large share of medical labor.
Oh, I think it's coming by necessity. I think we've, in a lot of diagnostics especially, we've reached the point where our human brain can manage the data. And the next frontier is taking the data and using deep learning and AI to help with better diagnostics. And I guarantee people working on that, whether they're at companies or universities, to try to crack that code. Similarly, using AI and software to control devices and get more refined. And then that will cross over, like you said, into robotics. Robotics is very interesting. The initial robotic devices were, if you think of Intuitive Surgical, they developed a robot which is really assisting the surgeon to be more precise and achieve smaller incisions to do whatever surgeries that they need to do in a tight, small space. However, I think the landscape of robotics is changing right now because of the shortage of healthcare workers that are out there. And I think that's driving more and more, instead of robotic assisted, robotic is primary type of care. So it may not necessarily be surgical. There's now robotic devices in hospitals that go around and walk to patients' rooms because the doctor can't be in 30 places at once. So he may be covering three different hospitals, and so he's sitting in one. He may be sitting one in Chicago, and the robot's walking around in a hospital in Milwaukee, and he's talking to the patients through the robot to help them. So I think robotics, one of the great fields that it will help cover, is to help with med tech and these shortages of staff that won't go away, will exist for many decades. It's what needs to help solve that. It's a necessary thing. Or to be honest with you, we're going to be in trouble in this country with healthcare.
Wow, that's really interesting. And like that last example, is that called telepresence or something like that,
Yeah,
where
I can't
the
remember
robots,
the quite name
it's
of
almost
it,
like a
but
Zoom call, but instead of a computer, it's the head of the robot, and then
yeah,
it kind of
exactly. And the
just.
doctor's face is projected on it. But yeah, it's, and I can foresee other examples of that. And then similarly, if you have, you combine the two, AI and robotics, right? So AI can be used to give warning signs, right? So if you're monitoring 30 patients all at once, because you have a shortage of people, and AI is utilizing all the information that's coming from the patients to figure out who will take priority and where to go to first if there's a problem. I can see the convergence of those two technologies coming over the next, I would say sooner than later, probably within 5 years, you'll see some technology in that regard.
Well, do you happen to know off the top of your head which specific medical roles are lacking people so much? Is
Yeah, I
it
mean, I don't have
nurses? Is it?
statistics. I don't have the
Yeah.
statistics, but
Okay.
I know nursing is probably number one. The nursing shortage, I have a lot of colleagues and friends who are nursing,
So it's a
and
good time to
the
be a nurse, I would
oh,
assume that
absolutely,
means.
absolutely. And if there's anyone out there listening to podcasts who's considering it, please do it. It's one of the greatest things you can do for yourself and for the society. It's the most wonderful profession that's out there. But yeah, I think I read somewhere there's a shortage of north of 1 million nurses in the United States alone. Yeah, it's insane how short they are. And being the capitalistic society we are, there's companies that do these traveling nurses that go around to these hospitals that need it and end up paying a lot of money for nursing staff, right? So at some point, there's going to be a breaking point, right? And someone somewhere will develop a technology to help medical care and nursing care with managing the number of patients that they are. I'm excited to see what comes out of it. And I hope something does, because if not, I think when we all retire and go into nursing homes, we might be in trouble. So we
It
need
we
to.
it'll come for us all. So
Exactly,
we're
exactly.
all, and a colleague say, we are all only temporarily abled, and that's
Yeah.
the ominous truth to everything. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Eric Gilman. For folks who want to get in contact with you and they've got an idea, they want to check it out, how do they best get in contact with you and Pynetics?
Yeah, you can go right to our website, which is pynetics.com, and there's a contact us right there. You can see the type of things that we do. You can contact me directly. I don't mind that at all. It's eric.gilman with two L's and a C in my first name at pynetics.com, and happy to hear the idea and understand the problem that you're trying to solve for sure.
Awesome. Exciting stuff. Eric, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing all of this great perspective.
Yeah, pleasure. It was really great to talk to you, Thomas.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.